Hey guys, this episode was pre-recorded from before Thanksgiving, but don't go away. It's a great episode. I love it. What happened was Third Wheel Podcast Network was booked last week, so we couldn't record, but we have this great episode banked. So please enjoy this episode with me and Nolan Culver. No Brandon. Stay tuned. It's a really good episode. Plus, you don't really like Brandon all that much, do you? All right, enjoy this episode of I'm Sorry Dad Podcast.
Brandon's crazy, and I do. He's very sad. I'm so sorry, Dad.
Going?
Bang.
And we're back on I'm Sorry Dad Podcast. How is everybody doing out there? I hope you're having a great day, night, morning, nap. If you're asleep, have a great dream. My name is Rye Dune. I'm here with our producer, Nolan Culver.
Hey-o.
Nolan has got to step up a little bit today. Yep. Not really. You don't have to. I can handle it, but...
Well, I'm on camera, so I really have to. Or I have to listen.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be a little bit present, but that is not your job.
No.
You are not getting paid for that.
Nope.
But, you know, you can chime in if you want, but I'll take the reins. Unfortunately, Brandon had a doctor's appointment that he could not miss. Brandon is fine. I know we just talked about his heart failing. He's fine. He's totally fine.
Yeah. It sounds like a butt is coming. He's fine.
But no, he just couldn't move his doctor's appointment. So it's just your boys, Nolan and Rye Dune. Laugh, boys. So yeah, it's just your boy, Rye Dune. I thought maybe I could I was just looking at my... jokes, my set list of jokes, and I could just maybe talk about that. But before we get into the show, I'm recording at Third Wheel Network.
Formerly Unfunny.
Formerly known as Unfunny Network. Third Wheel Network.
Third Wheel Podcast Studio.
Third Wheel Podcast Studio.
Network.com.
If you're in the LA area and would like to make your own podcast about anything, could even just be a podcast of dead silence.
Yeah.
No one doesn't
Never
care.
Been done before.
Yeah. That'd be
pretty cool.
A very novel idea. No one doesn't care just as long as you pay them, really.
Yeah. Pay up, show up, shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you are doing a dead air podcast.
The dead air podcast.
That'd be really funny.
That's a new level of ASMR, whatever that is.
Yeah.
ASMR?
Yeah, ASMR.
Just silence.
Could you do a dead air podcast?
Where it's just silence. I think people wouldn't listen to it. I think they'd just sit in silence instead, maybe.
Right. Yeah, no, you couldn't.
I thought of a new
make it interesting.
I thought of a new style of ASM. What is it? ASMR.
ASMR.
I thought of a new style that I'm thinking about doing on YouTube.
Okay.
Starting a new style, moaning. I wonder if people would enjoy just like.
Let Ray know. Let Ray know if you liked the sample.
Sometimes I make myself laugh. Like, I'll get out of the gym and I'll sit in my car and I'll do that just to be like really obnoxious. But no one's there.
At the gym?
No, no one's in my car with me when I'm doing this. So I feel a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But I make myself laugh.
Do you talk to yourself in the car? In general?
I do characters and voices in the car and stuff.
Yeah.
But it is from a running joke I have with my roommate, Adam, where we'll just out of nowhere be like, that's kind of a cum noise, but
yeah,
sometimes out of nowhere I'll make little cum noises.
That sounded like you got at that noise sounded like you got asked to do something you didn't want to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what that was. Yeah. Can you pick me up from the airport? Cause the answer is I have to, cause we're friends or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck.
You gotta be like. Pretty much, you got to be good friends for the airport pickup.
Depending
on what time. If it's before 8 a.m., 8 a.m. and earlier, that's a fucking best friend, if that.
Yeah. Oh, best friends have turned me down recently for just any regular airport pickup in L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
In L.A., it's a big deal.
That's funny. My dad is flying in on Friday.
Yeah? The dad that you're always apologizing to?
Speaking of airport pickups, he's renting a car, but... this will be the most time I've spent alone with my dad ever. Ever.
Really?
He's here for 7 days, bro. Woo! Friday to Friday. Bill
Mulder. Staying in your house?
No. He's getting a hotel room. Nice. Up the street. It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. But honestly, I've never spent more than 3 hours alone with my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you grow up with your dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not really okay. Just piecing it together.
Well, I want to piece it together. So he, good dad or bad dad?
Good dad.
Okay. I think just left you alone.
Irish Catholic, busy dad, working, dentist, part of the Irish Catholic culture, especially on the East Coast, is emotionally unavailable fathers. And I was talking to my therapist about that, and she said Irish dads and black fathers are known for not being in their children's lives.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know that about Irish.
Yeah, well, it's funny because they say, like, next to black people in America, Irish were the next level up in terms of how people viewed, like, even in a racial way.
Like back in the day?
Yeah. There was a time where if you were Irish, you were right next to black.
Right. Not anymore, though. We're on top now, baby.
Woo! Got Conan O'Brien. We got Conor McGregor.
Bill O'Reilly. He's a good guy.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he's a gentleman.
He's a good guy.
He punches elderly people, but, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, they probably had it coming.
They asked for it.
We can't see the audio.
Right. Maybe,
you know what I mean?
It looked like I read that the old guy offered him a beer, but maybe he offered him, maybe he just said, fuck you. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe he offered him like a cider, and then in Ireland, that's like a heavy, heavy burn.
Right. It's like he's calling him a beta.
Like, yeah. Bitch, you want a cider? You can't handle this Guinness?
Want a cider, bitch?
Fuck.
So, yeah, my dad's coming for a week. It'll be good. My dad is sober, just like me.
So he used to be an alky?
He became one, I think, just in the past 5 years.
And then already quit?
Already quit.
Nice.
He was a normal drinker for all of my life. Rarely saw him drunk, but in the past 5 years, I saw him drunk.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Dude, I've noticed that you're never safe with alcohol.
No,
I thought I had my ducats in a row.
Yeah.
Just kind of had a good handle on it. I like to drink, but nope. I don't think
really?
I do. I do have a handle on it. Yeah. But I can see that it's at any moment it can easily become a problem habit.
Yeah.
That then becomes a real problem habit.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought that, you know, by the time you're where I'm at, 30s, like you're like, if you have a rhythm, you're good. You're safe.
Right.
No, not at all.
Oh.
It's always there.
With my dad, like, you can become an alcoholic at any point of your life. That's what I learned from my dad.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
Because my dad was 67, and you'd think, like, you're 67, you're not going to, like, become an alcoholic at that point.
Yep.
But
you would definitely think that.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Or I never really thought about it, to be honest.
Sure. You just assumed.
I assumed, like, yeah, you're old. You're an old guy.
Yeah.
You're not going to
Your habits are already in.
Yeah.
You're not getting new habits.
But then I think he got lonely, He got some physical pain too, back pain.
Oh yeah. Okay.
A mixture of alcohol and some medication. He just slipped into an addiction.
Word.
It's pretty wild.
Word.
But I commend the man for
stepping up
and getting a handle on it, dude. And now we're just gonna have soda waters together all week.
God, that's awful.
7 days of soda waters. No, it'll be good. It'll be fun. I'm gonna take him to the Getty Museum. I'm going to take him to Santa Barbara, Long Beach. We're going to look at some boats. We might venture off to Catalina Island, take a ferry.
Oh, that's sweet.
I got to look into that.
I'm going to switch the camera real quick if you're watching.
Sure. It'll be good. It's just my dad is a kind of a quiet guy. So might be an initial period of small talk just at the beginning, just like the first 3 days of just small talk.
You want to break past it, but there's also there's an art to it. You can't just break past small talk.
Yeah.
If people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I had to figure out as a young man, you know, because I wanted everything to be more intense.
More casual. Not casual. More real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And like awkward even.
If you break past small talk, you might have autism. New comedy bit.
If you can't break small talk?
Skip small talk.
Oh, right.
If you skip small talk, you might have autism. If you love transit, you might have Asperger's.
Transit?
If you have a passion for traffic, I saw a documentary. Apparently trains in the transit system is a hobby among many people with Asperger's. Remember Peach Kennedy was on the podcast?
Yeah.
Asperger's, it's pronounced.
Yeah, and she says she has it.
That's what she says.
I feel like it's so cool now to be gay and have Asperger's, bro.
If Peach Kennedy, if you're listening, you're a fucking liar.
A phony? delusional.
No, just
kidding. I wish I had Asperger's. See, but that's the point. It's like, see, because it's like, it's you. All of a sudden we realize that autism and Asperger's is like code for a brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as everybody's like, well, I have it.
Yeah.
I'm smart. I'm pretty smart.
Speaking of Peach Kennedy, well, to wrap up my dad story, it'll be good. I'll report back to you guys on the pod of how it goes. And hopefully I won't be saying.
Do you want to have him on?
I thought about that.
Sorry, I cut off your big moment.
Yeah, I was about to say a fucking punchline, dude. Hopefully I won't be saying.
Yeah, but David,
I'm sorry, Dad. Hopefully I won't be saying I'm sorry, Dad. It was a cheesy line. I was going for cheese, and now it's just people think.
The bit where I did it again, though, that was, yeah. I think people are going to like that.
Yeah, that was all right. This episode is brought to you by Bespoke Post. This is a great company. I love them. I use them. I use one of their items called the Weekender. It's a travel bag for like a 1 or 2 day trip. It looks cool. It works great. Check out the Weekender on boxofawesome.com. And they have a bunch of other boxes. Bespoke Post sends guys only the best stuff every month. So whenever you're looking to commemorate an occasion with a champagne saber or toast perfectly aged winter cocktails, Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has carefully built collections for every part of your life. Now they have new boxes of awesome I'm looking at right now. I'm going to order the Glisten, which is an electric toothbrush. I'm going to order the Box of Awesome called Dim, which is smart lighting. I would love to have some smart lights in my room just to, you know, just you know what smart lighting is. It's like a smartphone, but a light. And I'm also looking at Relief high-end soap. I need that for my face because I'm getting old. So go to boxofawesome.com. Check out their goods. It is awesome. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and then enter the code SORRY at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code SORRY, for 20% off your first month.
Speaking of, wait, what were you going to say? What'd you say?
Do you want to bring him on?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
No.
I think that'd be, I envisioned it in my head, and I was like, oh, God, my friend's calling me. I envisioned that in my head, just having him sit in that chair and be like, yeah, what are these? Oh, headphones. No, I'm not going to have him on.
Okay, fair.
He wouldn't say that, but it would be uncomfortable.
You think so?
Yeah.
Now I want it to happen so bad.
No.
Does he have some controversial old guy views?
No.
Like if it got onto like
race
and gayness.
No.
If it got into that world, would he have some pretty?
No.
That's what just happened with an old guy that was in my studio just now.
Really? Uh-oh.
He was ranting on especially gay stuff.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Like super just, homophobic?
Yeah, classic God thinking.
Okay.
It was really funny.
Like, I don't know.
Like, you know, it's just against God's law, that type of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did he happen to say, like,
really
I don't
funny.
Know why anyone would choose to be gay. I don't get it.
No, he was actually talking a little bit more about transitioning, like transgender.
Okay.
And things like that. Yeah. He wasn't actually talking about gay that much.
Okay. Yeah, the transgender.
But his
thing.
General vibe was a little anti. It was very funny. Mm. I personally got a kick out of it.
Right. I know what you mean.
It was hilarious.
My grandmother called me a fag once.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious.
It's hilarious. Because there's a comedian that has a bit like this where it's just like, they get so old, it's charming.
Right. Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's harmless almost at that point.
Right.
Because they're so old, they're ineffectual.
I'm like, oh, cute little racist. Cute.
Old ideas you haven't updated.
That's funny. I have told my grandmother story on the pod before. But I was thinking, so, you know, we're both comedians and we talk about subjects.
God,
so far, this
it,
is
dude.
Really interesting.
A little inside baseball for you guys. Comedians tend to talk about subjects.
No, I'm trying to get better at my storytelling. So I got a set list here and I could tell you the backstory to these jokes.
Yeah, let's do it.
Might be interesting.
Why not?
And it goes along with my dad being distant. Because I had a set last night. I was hosting. So I opened with two jokes that are tried and true. Been doing them for years. And it helps introduce me to the audience. It helps them get to know me. Specifically, where I'm from. It's jokes about Boston and the masculinity culture. The masculine culture in Boston. I won't tell the joke because that won't work in this setting. But the joke is about how dudes always got to be tough on the fucking East Coast. A lot of dudes are like that. I guess this is a joke about toxic masculinity. That's not really how I think of it. But I noticed in high school, during the winter, there were some quote-unquote tough guys when they would walk from their car to across the parking lot into the school, freezing temperatures. They would not wear jackets.
Yeah.
They would just have T-shirts on. And they would walk firmly. They'd walk tall and prideful as if they weren't feeling the cold, freezing temperatures.
Yeah.
And that always bothered me as a kid.
Right.
I think it was because they're being inauthentic.
Yes.
And I was like, dude, you're cold. Put a fucking jacket on.
Dude, don't you think kids have the best radar for inauthenticity? I think that when you're a kid, you don't know much, but what you do know is when people are putting things on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's like somehow it's crystal clear when you're a kid. Like that's why it's so easy to not like what adults are doing. Like when I saw drunk adults, I was like embarrassed for them.
Yes.
Even though I had no context for understanding social formality.
Yes.
I'm like, this is weird. This is outside of you a little bit. And I think anytime like you can see people behaving.
Uh-huh.
Because I think we get used to it, you know what I mean? Because then we start putting stuff on too.
Yeah.
Like walking to, so like even when you're a kid, you're seeing that way that person's, you're analyzing all these layers that they're adding to them hiding, and you're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I like that. It's funny because when I was a little tiny boy, my mom would get drunk sometimes.
Yeah.
Kind of wasted. And I was afraid of her when she was like that.
Same.
Yeah?
Same. Even with my mom, who's very unintimidating. There's just something loose and reckless, and it's true that she is dangerous. And you know, if you didn't, if we all grew up and kept that mentality, it's like, yeah, that is, you're off of yourself, and this isn't good. You're doing this for the wrong. I mean, my mom was sad, so she was drinking out of sad. I mean, I'm picking up all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't fun drunk. Yeah, this is sad drunk.
My mom wasn't mean drunk. She would just come home from dinner with friends, pretty drunk, and just be like, huggy, really lovey. Yeah. And I was like, don't touch me.
Right.
You're being weird. I don't know what I said, but I was afraid of her.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's kind of like even, I mean, you can even maybe talk about this, but it's hard to be around somebody when you're drunk if they're not.
Yeah.
It's a vibe. It's all wrong.
If they're drunk and you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Or either, you know, either side, it's not working well.
You're on different wavelengths.
Yeah.
You're just not in the same headspace.
Yeah. How do you have fun? Like if you're out drinking, how do you consistently have fun without drinking?
Or
if you're out with people drinking, I should say.
I'm not out with people drinking often anymore.
Yeah.
Actually.
That's what I figured.
But I did. I was, a few months ago, I went out with two of our friends. I don't actually know if you know them. I won't say their names. I could, but it doesn't matter to the story. I went out with two comedians and they drank. They didn't get wasted, but they just got drunk.
Yeah.
And we were on our walking to a bar and they were like dancing their way there and they were having a blast, like cracking up, being very silly.
Yeah.
Which is something I love to do.
Yeah. Silly's good.
But I wasn't at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So I did do a little bit of dancing, but then I stopped. I was like, I don't want to dance.
This
right
isn't
now.
My thing. Yeah. That's so funny.
I don't have it in me right now.
But that's
now,
interesting, though, because then you kind of felt like they were in the right space and you couldn't get there.
Kind of. I was like, man, they're having a good time.
Yeah.
I was having a good time, too. But I was like,
can't get there.
I can't dance on the sidewalk right now.
That's almost pro. That's almost like a little the opposite, where you're pro their state. You're like, I'd rather be in that, not even drunk, but I'd rather be available to that kind of silliness right now. And
I did want to be able to access that. But
yeah. It's tough.
I couldn't get there. And I was very newly sober, so I was kind of like a nutcase.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened at that bar, we're sitting at a table. Big group of girls comes over and talks to us. And they are not all drunk. One of them was intoxicated. And they start flirting with us. And shit. Oh, yeah. One of the girls was just straight up like, I'm single. She's single. She's single. They're taken and they're taken. So there's three single girls. And I was like, all right, here's an opportunity for me to flirt a little bit. It was like, oh, cool. I was just thinking I want to make out with three girls tonight.
Funny.
Nice little funny.
Very funny.
Yeah. And then one of the girls immediately just starts making out with me. The hottest one, to be honest.
No way. Was she pretty hammered? Is that the...
She was intoxicated. Yeah. And I tasted whiskey on her breath.
Yeah.
And now if I was drinking too...
Game on.
Game on, dude.
Yeah.
Game on. I'm getting laid tonight.
Yeah. But you couldn't do it?
Couldn't get there.
You couldn't get turned? Like, it was too weird? You're like, this is weird. She's drunk. She smells bad. She tastes weird.
I liked the taste. I was like, ah, whiskey. Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
But I didn't feel tempted to drink at all. But I was like, ah, whiskey. All right.
Yeah.
But I wasn't about to take her home because she was drunk.
Too drunk?
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I would have felt like a rapist.
Was she that drunk? Because it depends. You can kind of gauge.
I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But she was drunk.
You erred on the side of caution.
And I wasn't about to be completely sober and manipulate a girl into sleeping with me.
Oh, why not, dude? It worked out for Cosby.
It worked out for the cause.
I mean, he got him.
Now, if I was at her level, we would have met in the middle and mutually had drunk sex.
Do you think that all would have been good? Like, do you look back on experiences like that, both potentially and if they did happen, as then later in life with a rearview mirror, like, that was all awesome. I'm glad that whole thing went down. Like, is that a worthwhile experience to get into every once in a while? If you have control over yourself alcohol-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Long-term.
Yeah, if you're not an alcoholic and you have drunk sex every once in a while, sure, go for it.
Yeah. You say, like, that's great. Like, I'm...
Sure.
It's not just whatever. It's like, no, that's a good, positive experience.
Oh, no. No, it's not a good... It's not. I'm not like, yes, do that.
No?
I'm just like, it's okay. It's fun.
Oh, see, I would wonder if it's like, no, get out there, man. Sow the oats. Like, you'll have a blast. You'll fuck. It'll be great. Yeah. You'll have a good memory.
All right. Wait. Hold on. Are you saying...
I'm not recommending alcoholism. I'm recommending that experience.
That
one. Drunk, fucking.
Sure.
And then later on in life, you're like, boy, I'm glad I drunk fucked that chick that night. Like,
okay.
I'm pro that experience.
Okay. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah. I'm pro. In that mindset, yes. Pro. Sure. Go out, get drunk, and have sex.
Yeah.
Use protection.
Super
fun.
Use
protection.
Yeah, gotcha.
And especially, it depends on where you are in life. Like, if you're out of a long-term relationship.
You're married.
Yeah. If you're married, don't. But like...
If you have AIDS.
I came out of a 10-year relationship, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking go out and drink and fuck. And everyone in my life, I didn't have a therapist at that point.
Yeah.
But everyone was like, yeah, dude, go do that. You fucking... Yes. You
deserve it.
And like, you are doing well. You're working hard. You're successful. No one knew that I was an alcoholic.
Right.
Neither did I.
Yeah. That's funny.
And then I fucked for 2 years and drank myself into addiction. I think I was already addicted, though. Who knows? Doesn't matter when I...
Well, I see it. But this is what's interesting. Is like, I think I'm already, to a certain degree, addicted. And that's what I'm starting... That's what I was talking about. It's like, it sneaks up on you because it never stops being something that makes life a little easier.
Yeah.
It never stops. That never gets old. And then the older you get, the more, you know, it's easier to tolerate. So you need more, which is the definition of addiction, is wanting it and needing more, right? Because then it's like, I can't just have two drinks and have a good time. I need five to even have the same good time I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because the addiction thing is almost like you already are addicted. I bet most people are in a way. It's whether or not you let yourself obey those impulses. I could easily drink right now. It'd be.
I don't know if most people are addicted.
No, that's true. If you're a medium casual drinker, I would say. I mean, not if you don't drink, then obviously you're not addicted.
they say in 12 steps, don't quote me, this isn't verbatim, but something like addiction is repeating an action and expecting a different result, which is the definition of insanity. So like I kept on drinking. I never consciously thought like, oh, I'll drink this time. Wait, yes, I did. I was like, I'll drink this time and it'll be okay.
I'll drink this time
and it'll be fun.
What was un-okay? Because I still think when I drink, I most of the time don't regret it. The only thing that makes me regret it is the fear that I'm becoming more dependent.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The experience, for the most part, typically goes well.
Let me ask you this. Can you have one drink?
I don't enjoy it.
Okay.
I do not enjoy one drink. I'd rather have none.
Okay, yeah. I'm the same way, but I always was.
Yeah, other than when I first started drinking, I was always two or three minimum before.
Totally, man.
Right?
You got to get at least buzzed.
100%. And I'm also an empty stomach drinker. I'm not into alcohol other than for any other reason to get a buzz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same.
Yeah. Glass of wine with dinner? Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out.
Go home.
Even just two. Two will give me a buzz, but then once I'm buzzed, show's over, baby.
Well, also, two pre-meal. If it's two or one, bang, pre-meal. And then that way I'm eating the meal with a little bit of buzz and zip-zapping.
You know what I used to love to do?
You know.
If I found myself hungry, I don't love being hungry. But there were times, you know, in the afternoon, like, fuck, I'm starving.
Yeah.
I would instantly crave an ice-cold IPA.
Ooh.
It's like, it fills you up a little bit. It's got, ooh, like, you know, it's like liquid bread.
Yeah, it's like a V8. It's like a tomato.
Right? Totally.
Yeah. It's hearty.
And IPAs have a little bit more alcohol than normal, so empty stomach, ice cold,
so
bitter
fun.
Bitter IPA, instant. Ooh. One beer, buzzed.
You're right, man. IPAs will get you. If you're empty stomach.
Yeah. I had one hairy moment in my sobriety where I found myself hungry, and I was like, it was a really hot day, and I was like, I kind of forgot I was an alcoholic. I was like, oh, I could go for an IPA right now. Oh, yeah. Wait, whoops.
Oh, shit. Ah! Oh, shit. You kind of have to do a little bit of brainwashing as a addict, right? Because I'm always a little surprised by how consistent people are once they turn that corner and they say, yeah, I'm sober, and they go to 12-step and they do all that. And it's like, they really mean it. It's not like 3 years later, I see them back.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, okay. I guess, is it a... Was there a point where it was a daily struggle? Like you had to reinstitute a new psychology that said, no, I can't even let myself start to want that because I'll go. So it's like you almost train yourself away.
Good question. I have not really had much of a struggle not drinking.
Yeah, since you decided, even right after you decided you're going to stop?
I did take a month and a half off of drinking without doing any meetings, not doing any 12-step, and I wanted to drink.
The whole time.
But if I go to a meeting in the morning, I've never not gone to a meeting, so I don't know what that's like.
Okay, so there you go. So it's like, so some sort of outside assistance needs to be continually reminding you of the choice you've made.
Aside from my month and a half off, that's when I wasn't committed to never drinking again.
But that, even to the point that during that time, you definitely had the impulses you didn't have to. Like, if you stopped going to the meetings, it's a good chance you'd have some struggles.
Probably. I probably end up forgetting how bad I had it.
Right. Exactly. That's. I really think it's, it's like a reminder. It makes sense.
I go to these meetings, I hear people's stories, and I'm like, yes. Yep. Yeah. That happened to me, or like.
Right.
And I hear people a lot talk about how, like, I was sober for 3 years and then I went out. That's what they call it. They went out. That means, started drinking again.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, and it did not work out. So I'm like, all right, noted. There's no one has ever in the history of what I've heard so far.
Yeah.
No one has ever said like, I quit for 9 years, went back to drinking, and it's great.
There's no success story of being a full-blown alcoholic and then taking a bunch of time off and then getting back in nice and gentle.
Right.
And going back to your pre-alky ways.
They say that your disease keeps growing stronger even when you're not drinking. So it's doing push-ups. So I guess like if you were to quit, if you're an alcoholic and you quit for a year and you come back, your hangovers will be as if you never stopped drinking. And your problem will be as if you never stopped.
I mean, it makes sense Just from what?
How long have we been going?
27.
Let's switch it up a little bit.
You got it, dude.
Switch out the top. How do we wrap this up, though? We started with masculinity.
Yeah. Which we are experts on.
Totally.
Two of the toughest guys you'll ever meet.
Uh-huh. Here's
I've been hanging out with Nick Hawk again a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting some lessons on how to sling dick.
Fuck yeah.
This episode is also brought to you by Future. You know as well as I do how hard it is to stick to a fitness routine. You guys know my struggle. You know my battle. I can never seem to get in shape. I can't stick to something. Maybe you're one of those people who know exactly what you're doing, but need new ways to take your workouts to the next level. Or maybe you have no idea what you're doing and you just need a baseline to help you reach your goals. My fitness level is, I would say, it's okay. I'm like 5 out of 10. And my gym routine is not great. I'll go and I'll try to use a bike for about 30 minutes and then I'll lift. What am I lifting? I don't even know. I just walk around aimlessly and use some machines, do some curls. I don't know. A personalized trainer would help, but who can afford that? I can't. And that's why I started using Future. Future is great because my favorite part of Future is it pairs you with world-class trainers. And they give me a fitness routine that's like specific to me, specific to what I want. I want to reduce the fat in my upper body. That's what I want. You know, I'm getting old. Trying to be in shape here, and Future really does help. And like I just said, Future pairs you with one of their world-class trainers, and coaches create your personalized workout plan. It's tailored specifically to your schedule, your routine, your goals, and your progress. And your coach checks in with you daily to keep you on track, sending you texts, making adjustments to your routine, and following your progress logged on your Apple Watch. Don't have an Apple Watch? No problem. When you sign up to train with Future, they send you everything you need, including an Apple Watch. Don't overpay for a trainer. Get the workouts you need to meet all your fitness goals and take your trainer with you wherever you go with Future. Sign up for Future today at tryfuture.com/dad and get 50% off your first month. That's tryfuture.com/dad for 50% off your first month. tryfuture.com/dad.
All right, looking at my stand-up notes here. Here's a could be a potentially funny one. I have a joke about talking dirty in the bedroom.
Okay.
Based on a real life event. I have tried talking dirty in the bedroom and I am unable to lose myself enough to do it well.
Yeah, you have to really be in the moment.
You really do.
You can't be observing yourself in any way.
No, and I'm not good at that. I am good at it. Having sex, I feel, but then I think like I'm about to talk dirty.
Yeah, you get that inner monologue. Yeah, it's not good. You need to be present.
And one of my jokes is, I say like, "Yeah, baby, my dirty talk is, yeah, baby, you like sex," and she says, "Usually."
Bam.
Yeah.
Standing out.
I think I've talked about this in the podcast actually. You know, there was one time I was making love to a sweet girl. And she was saying, like, I've talked about this, actually. I've fucking talked about this in the pod,
I think
dude.
Sex is so funny when you picture people that you know having sex.
Oh,
is
God.
Really funny. Like, anybody that I know having sex, if I picture them with their clothes off being dead serious about fucking, is hilarious.
Makes me uncomfortable.
You naked, bro, like, meaning it, is so funny to me.
Because
it means all of us, because we all switch in that moment. We're not, we're totally vulnerable and we're into fucking.
I know.
And it's a completely different mind state that you never see anybody in.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like thinking about that. For you it's funny. I'm not there yet.
I don't like thinking about it. It's just when I do I laugh and I get out. I don't trust me, I don't hang out there. It's not a comfortable experience.
I don't hang out there.
Yeah. Even like picturing myself naked trying to fuck is hilarious from the outside. I'm all pasty and a little bony.
Yeah, yeah.
Hair.
It's so funny. I've watched myself in the mirror fucking away.
Oh, and it's so serious. It's so.
Sometimes.
It's so fucking There's no comedy in it whatsoever, because if it was, I'd go limp immediately. That's what it is. You see, because it's like you can't be cool and funny. Like if you're really cool and serious, you can't be funny. So it's like you have to choose that. And in that moment, you're always cool. Sex is cool. It's never funny. If you're laughing, I don't know. Maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I cannot personally start finding things funny and still have a boner.
I've laughed with a girl during sex,
and it didn't kind of take you. Didn't you have to get right back in before? Otherwise, if you'd have kept laughing, you'd have been done.
Oh yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You can take a second, but you can't maintain.
Right.
Bits. You can't be running.
Yeah.
Can't be like fuck me and my fuck, and then that's funny to you guys, and then now you just roll. You can't improv together.
Right. Right. Fucking. I'm just thinking. Let me think for a second here. You know, a lot of people are afraid of silence, but not me.
Dead Air Podcast. Can I run a bit real quick?
Dead Air. Yeah. So
this is brand new. Just a thought.
Okay.
And it's like still got a lot of got great sex life. Me and my wife, 7 years married, still cooking. We mix it up in bed. We like this position where she's on the bed and I'm in the other room masturbating.
Yeah, that's funny.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And she's always like talking dirty, like, keep it down out there. I can hear your sleeves.
This great position. She's lying on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm in
the other
room
masturbating.
The turn.
Yeah. I like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Have you tried
it? Didn't work.
It didn't work?
Yeah, I tried it once. It didn't work. But it was at an open mic. You know, what are you going to do?
Oh, God, you can't tell.
No, not at all.
Let me ask you this for a joke. I have this joke. The first half, tried and true, it works.
Mm.
It's about how I'm straight and I can tell when guys are hot. What makes a male attractive? It's biology. What makes a male attractive is a symmetrical face, strong jaw, broad dick,
shoulders. Yeah. Have I heard? I think I've heard you say
probably.
That. Yeah.
Broad dick, shoulders. I catch myself.
Yeah, it's funny.
Then there's a laugh. I'm like, anyways, let me repeat myself. All right, let me start over. Symmetrical face, strong jaw, broad shoulders, tapered torso. Does that make sense? Tapered torso.
Yeah. The V-tor.
Okay. And if I do this act out, tapered torso, will the audience know? Tapered torso? I want it to be two words.
Are you trying to say that you're blowing him?
No. This is the microphone.
Oh, I thought you were trying to act like...
So during the act out, I'm doing it with one hand.
Yeah. Well, are you trying to insinuate that's the semi-gay part?
No. Okay. I just want to know if that language is understandable.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could even say they have different, like, the girls call it the V.
The V.
Like the V'd out torso. You could say that.
That's too long to say.
I see what you're saying. Tapered torso works.
V'd out torso. See, that might confuse people. Would it?
I don't know. I remember this girl called it the V.
I know that they call it.
I have it. No big deal.
Yeah,
because... she was like, "You have the fucking."
Yeah, well, you're prepubescent, so.
Yeah, that's true. I was scrawny.
I used to have that, by the way. I'm working on it.
Get it back.
I still have it, but it's like kind of just like it's because of fat that's rolling over. I don't have rolls. I'm just kidding.
Tapered
torso?
Sure. I didn't even flinch at that. I thought you were trying to communicate something else because you were looking at me like you needed something.
I tried it at an open mic, but who the fuck knows if it's going to work.
Well, but that's not the funny. Is that the funny part?
No.
Oh, so what comes next
to
make that part funny?
Symmetrical face, strong jaw, broad shoulders, tapered torso, strong thighs, big bush, no feet. I grab my crotch, say big bush, and then I say no feet. And then I want to go into why no feet.
That's really funny. I mean, it's absurd. I love that you say bush.
Yeah. I think I need to go
back. Big old bush.
I think I'd go back and need to acknowledge the bush. But then I'm thinking, like, men's feet are no feet. And I say no feet because men's...
I think you could knock out just a... This might be little, very micro, but you could knock out the thigh before the big bush.
Well, strong thighs, big.
Because you start up here again. So by the time you get to thigh, you've said like four things.
Yeah. Symmetrical face, strong jaw, broad shoulders, tapered torso, big bush, no feet. You're right. The joke is Bush, though.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then...
No feet is just if they,
that might confuse people.
If they're even listening, they're like, because they're laughing, they're like, I don't know. I think
I'll figure it out. I'm just going to try it.
Yeah. Big Bush is really funny.
Big Bush. Because you think I'm going to say dick.
Of course. No, I get what.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
It's a real misdirection.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
How long are we in, bro?
Dude, I mean, you just asked. Bro. So 7 minutes have gone by.
Oh, my God.
35.
What are we gonna do,
dude? I could Bogart this podcast and just start talking. I mean, I got a lot to talk about.
No, I prefer you didn't.
I want to talk about.
But I know what to do.
Trump.
No. Let me tell you about this. I'm going home to the Boston area for over 2 weeks Christmas, and I'm gonna see my nieces and nephews. Going to see fucking Madeline, who I have a joke about, when she was 5 years old. It's a joke about how kids say dark shit without knowing it. When Madeline was 5 years old, we were at my mother's house. Madeline was atop the porch steps, and she jumped onto the grass. And I grabbed her in midair because it was dangerous. You know how little kids just jump off shit?
Yeah.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
I grabbed her in midair and guided her down to the grass. And I was like, whoa, Madeline, that was dangerous. Then she wanted to do it again because that's what kids do. Again, mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. again. But she wanted to say, catch me. But she's a fucking stupid 5 year old. So instead, no, not actually stupid. She couldn't verbalize it because she's five. So she said, touch me. She's saying, touch me to her uncle.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
I've heard that joke too.
Yeah, okay.
So,
but the audience hasn't. This
I know,
podcast.
But you were kind of looking at me like I should have laughed. I've heard the bit.
No.
No, you were.
Skibet. Anyways, I'm going back to see Madeline. Well, the joke is, yeah, she really did, in real life, she did say, touch me, Uncle Rye. Oh, man, we had a good laugh that day. I'll be seeing Madeline. She's now 13 and started.
Did you tell her that story?
I did recently.
Does she find it funny?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means you're a good uncle. Otherwise, she'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And, her little brother and little sister heard me telling it. My sister was there, Madeline's mom. It wasn't like a, hey, Madeline, I got a dirty joke for you. So the mom was there. It was okay. But her little brother and little sister started saying, touch me, just around the kitchen. Touch me, as a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my sister was like, oh, boy, look what you've started.
Here we go.
Yeah, I was seeing Madeline. She's 13 and started getting to that phase where she's being kind of a brat to her mom.
Kind of a B-word.
Kind of a bitch. Kind of a fucking cunt. That's what I'm going to call her. So do you have any thoughts about tweens?
A real...
I'm trying to get a conversation going here, dude. Tweens.
Oh, I don't know.
You attracted to them?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Invite me out. I got nowhere to go. So, me and Betsy are looking for a family. East Coast sounds fun.
You should... yeah.
You know, tweens, man, they don't get it. no, I don't. It's an awkward time of life. I don't know what it's like to be a girl. I know that my wife's the sweetest person on the planet. Period.
Yeah?
Really? And, yeah. Hmm. And she was a whore, cunt, bitch to her mom when she was a tween.
Really?
Yeah. She'll say, like, I was awful. It's like, you're the nicest, sweetest human being on the planet. So there's no escaping it. Dig in and have fun. Enjoy the ride. I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Bad.
That's what I think is the truth I speak.
That's what I've told my sister. It's like, looks like she's going through that phase where she's an asshole to her mom.
Yeah. And it is like a thing, you know. There's a lot of psychological reasons for it. But
right. I don't know what the reasons are, but because I'm not a girl.
It's valid. I mean, it's independence. The sad thing is, it's almost like the better the mom, in many ways, the worse it's going to be because the attachment has grown.
Maybe.
And I think if I'd heard pop psychology, if I could just repeat it horribly, it's like that good connection, and then there's that reliance, and then they're trying to sever it. They're embarrassed of it. They want independence and forming their own personality, and they don't know how else to do it because the mom is mature and has a healthy relationship with their daughter, but the daughter doesn't know that this is fine. Mm-hmm. they're more like freaked out and socially trying to become independent. So it's sad for the mom.
Yeah.
Because she's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
Unless she is.
I'm trying to think if I did anything like that with my dad. I think I just got quiet and my dad got quiet as well.
And then that has lasted for 20 years.
Yeah. And it stayed that way forever. One of my sisters was a fucking whore bitch cunt to my mom. My older sister Meg was a real fucking bitch cunt to my mom.
The old WBC.
But it's a tricky situation because my mom is kind of a whore cunt.
Right.
So it's like,
that's what I'm saying. So it could go.
Yeah. Who's being the biggest cunt?
Mom could have a problem too.
Meg or my mom?
It's tough.
You know?
You never know.
So I guess
you have to get in there.
I guess we'll just never solve that.
Yeah. But no, I don't know, man. I mean, I've seen some pretty awful youths. Me and my little brother were pretty chill because we bounced around a lot. So we became amiable, I think you call it.
Yeah, malleable.
Like, yeah, we'll settle in here. We don't want to be a problem. Mm. We were never really much of a problem.
Yeah, I was a pretty good kid.
Yeah.
Started smoking weed when I was like 15, but that's still, not bad. My presentation, Ryan is an angel.
Yeah.
Not an angel, but a good kid. Parents loved me.
Yeah.
I knew how to speak to adults.
Right.
You say their name. Hey, hi, Mrs. Brown. Hi, Mrs. Smith.
Right.
That just that alone, they'll be like, wow, impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. You smile a lot. I was always good with moms. Were you good with moms?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
My audience could be just a room full of moms.
Yeah.
They'd be like.
Me too.
And grandmas.
Yeah, I've used my charm to just navigate. That's how I navigate through life.
Smile, because moms and grandmas, they smile at you. Their eyes are, and if you smile back, they're just, you're in.
Yep, and
you're like, hey.
You say Mrs., followed by their last name, right. Boom, you're in.
Yeah.
Then you can just go straight to fucking.
Yeah. Then you're in, man.
Were you ever attracted to one of your friend's moms?
It's a good question.
You kept moving around, I guess.
Yeah, not really. No. I'm trying to think. That's a good question. I feel like I was attracted to some sort of mom. Whether it was my mom.
Yeah.
I was attracted to her.
She's hot.
I can't remember. Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
No.
Same here, kind of, actually.
No, teachers moms. Is what got me, dude. Teachers in high school.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was brutal. Yeah. I was as attracted to teachers as I was other hot girls in my grade. One of them just could not get over. I mean, she's normal attractive. Yeah. Not particularly stunning, but definitely not ugly.
And then you're 30-ish now. You think back, it's like, oh, that woman was 22 years old. She was actually super hot.
Yeah. There was this one teacher, my English teacher, Miss Parrish. She was probably like maybe late 20s, early 30s, if I think. But goddamn, I could not just stop running through situations in my head, dude.
Yeah.
That's a brutal time. I think girls don't do that so much, like obsess fantasy-wise.
Girls definitely crush on male teachers. I don't know if they're like thinking about like fucking them.
Because that's the hard part, dude, is if it's like a female teacher of even remote age and attractiveness, like to what you should be. It's like, I can't, that's the whole class. Whole class, I'm thinking about it. Only that. And not learning, of course, and then getting an assignment and figuring that out later.
There was a teacher at my high school when I was a freshman and sophomore, Miss Murphy, recent college grad.
Oof. Ay, ay, ay.
How can anybody handle that? She's like almost the same age as the seniors, practically.
Yeah. Brutal.
Everybody fucking wanted her.
Yeah.
And she knew it.
Yeah.
And I think she was uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. You should be, because also young high school age girls and high school age dudes are attractive. Like fuckable attractive.
Once you reach, this is controversial what I'm about to say, but once a human reaches sexual maturity, they become primally biologically attractive.
Oh, I mean, 18 is just a number. Let's just go. Let's stick. Hey, let's just really plant our flag on this one.
Oh, boy.
The flag needs to be planted. Age is just a number. But I mean, it's just a fact, dude. I mean, you could just say like they're 18 and then it'd be like, all right, it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. There's a law. But in terms of the attractiveness, I'm
physical.
Saying, Yeah, physical, in every way.
Biological. We're not talking emotional.
But dude, what's the difference between 16 and 18? A little bit, not that much. For me, I can tell you, not that much. On any level. I was a little bit more physically mature and a little bit more emotionally mature.
Okay, you're talking about you. Your body.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is fucking some scary territory we're headed
to. No, I'm just saying that that girl, that 22-year-old post-grad, there was 16-year-old dudes in that class that she was probably uncomfortable because it's like they are attractive.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I know. I'm not saying she should fuck them. I'm saying that it's like the drive is like, this is weird. I don't like this.
It's true. And most people don't talk about it because it's illegal and it's creepy.
Well, yeah, it's illegal and creepy.
Yeah.
But as soon as you turn 19, you'll think a 16-year-old is attractive. Like, it's not. It's a good number. We should continue to follow the rule. But the impulse is to be resisted, and the impulse is there. You know what I mean?
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
And
I think this is obvious.
I think it's obvious, too. People know what we're saying here.
I mean, they're going to clip it up, and they're going to make us say whatever they want us to say. Yeah. But they know what we're saying.
Yeah. I mean, when I was 16, I was really fucking hot and so fuckable.
God damn it. Do you have any pictures of you as a youth? I'm going to show the internet my, this is my senior photo. I was neither hot nor fuckable.
Ouch.
Yeah. I'm going to show the camera. This is great. This is my senior photo.
I think we're posting to YouTube again, so go for it.
Oh, well. That's so funny.
Well, I got to see that. Let me see that shit.
Yeah.
Wow, nice. You look like me.
Yeah.
You look like me when I was that age.
Yeah? You bleach your hair?
I bleached my hair once. That's when my grandmother called me a fag.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, older people did not like that back then. They did not like it.
Let me see if I can pull these up in a good amount of time. An appropriate.
But yeah, man, I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely weird. I could imagine if she was like, dude, can you imagine a 17-year-old senior and a 22-year-old post-grad, how close they are to being able to fuck? Like, that would be so uncomfortable as a teacher on any level.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And that's why teachers have sex with their kids. That happens a lot.
I know.
You never hear of a male teacher has sex with has sex with a female student. It's always a female teacher fucking a 15-year-old dude.
Right. Well, because the other route would probably be rape and some more rapey. Yeah, it's statutory when it's a dude, but I mean the dude is down.
Yeah.
Down.
Totally.
Here's
a picture of me in my first band. This is sixth grade. Now I went through puberty.
You're in a band?
Yeah.
Cool, dude. How'd it go? How'd it turn out?
Good.
Are you guys still together?
We all became rock stars.
Nice.
Have you heard of Coldplay?
Yeah.
Well, we opened for them.
Have you heard of Hoobastank?
I should have picked a better band. Have you heard of
Hoobastank? Would have been good.
Have you heard of Post Malone? That's us. Just kidding. It's a sixth grade. My friend started growing before me. That's me on the.
Oh, this is you, sixth grade?
Yeah.
That was senior year.
I don't have a senior photo available. I looked more mature than you in senior year, I think.
Yeah.
I'm a tiny little boy.
Yeah, dude.
Playing the sax. And my friend Steve.
I love how Tommy Hilfiger is fully back.
Put it on the camera, bro.
That's dope.
Yeah, this is when Tommy Hilfiger was hot.
And it is again.
Yeah. Fashion repeats itself.
20 years, by the way, I think. Yeah. I think you can reliably look at a trend and count 20 years and it'll be back.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I had a theory boy bands rotate every 5 to 7 years. And boy bands will last 3 to 5 years. That K-pop, BTS, is that what they're called? What does BTS mean?
I don't know.
I see hashtag BTS.
I don't know what you mean.
No, what the fuck
that is. Back to school?
But that song, I don't know. That was not funny. One Direction?
God, you're bombing.
I knew that they would last 3 to 5 years, and I think I was right. It was around 5.
Yeah.
Vine? My prediction was Vine would be popular 3 to 5 years. Why? Because our audience was teen girls. We had a boy band audience. We had boy band excitement.
You guys were,
I love her.
Right. You were that.
I didn't think it would be deleted.
Right?
But I did assume this is a 3 to 5 years.
TikTok is so that now.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've already talked about that. How long are we in now? Did we lose time? Like, it's now 20
Yeah,
minutes?
we're 20. 50.
Oh, that's good. How do you feel about this episode, Nolan?
I feel great. I mean, this isn't my podcast, so either way, I'm pretty comfortable with it.
I know.
Yeah.
It was different. I'm less of an asshole when Brandon's not here.
Yeah, when it's just you and another person, you're too empathetic. You can't be mean straight to my face too many times before it feels uncomfortable.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're a good dude. The joking is a way to lighten the mood.
I guess.
And you've chosen the asshole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I should try playing a different note, though.
It's funny, though.
Brandon and we've had some tension, so sometimes I get actually angry.
They say familiarity breeds contempt. Do you remember that saying?
No.
Dude, that's an unbelievable thing. That's one of those cliches, and you're like, oh, yeah. Boy, goddamn, is that a thing? It's crazy.
Familiarity
brings breeds. I want I'm putting an N in it for some reason. Familiarity breeds contempt. I think it's that. But it's, God, that's real, dude.
What does that mean?
It just means the more you know somebody, the more you're familiar with the situation, you start to be able to see all of its flaws more than you can everything that was awesome about it.
The little things start to annoy you.
And that's even, and this is just me thinking sort of new thoughts, but it could be anything. Relationships, it could be also, you know, you got a job that you're really excited about getting, and then familiarity breeds contempt.
That's funny.
It's a weird thing about that.
My long-term girlfriend used to get not genuinely like mad, but I move slowly. And she said, like, all my sisters, all my family, we do things slowly. Like, for instance, making a sandwich.
Uh-huh.
She'd be like, oh my God, Rye, just make the sandwich.
Yeah.
I guess I'd make a sandwich slowly.
Slow sandwich maker?
It was so she knew
that's
me
annoying.
So well. She was like, God, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah. The novel. I mean, and then, yeah, it's really interesting too, because it's like the novelty is gone. It is familiarity breeds contempt. Excessive knowledge of or close association with someone or something leads to a loss of respect for them or it.
Whoa.
And it's I think it's an undeniable fact of life.
Wow.
And it'll happen no matter what.
That's like in marriages.
And so I think that's what you got to watch out for in a marriage. Yeah. I would say that me and Betsy, have the right habits installed to stop contempt.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys keep the bathroom door open when you're going to the bathroom?
Shitting, no. Peeing, yeah.
Okay.
But only if we're talking.
Yeah. How about...
But shitting, no. We leave each other that privacy.
Instead of asking you these things, I'll just tell you something I heard.
Okay.
I think I heard it on a podcast. Not sure what the source is, but a good way to keep things interesting in a relationship, not even talking sexual, really.
Just new.
Avoiding getting too familiar is like, I've heard good advice is to never be naked in front of your partner unless you're having sex.
So, you know what's weird? I'm pretty conscious about that.
Really?
I try not to do normal things naked.
Yeah.
And it just seems like an instinct for some reason.
I wouldn't do that either. But like, even like changing in front of them.
She'll change. It's super sexy when a girl changes, I think.
Yeah.
I don't change. Because I don't think there's anything sexy about the male body unless it's like ready to fuck.
But I've heard like maybe you shouldn't even change in front of each other, because like if you don't see your partner naked when you do, it should be like sex time.
Right.
So when it comes to that time, you're like really excited, like, wow, I haven't seen these boobs in a while.
Yeah. No, she does. She holds it down on that. I think we're both unconsciously conscious about it. We don't even talk about it, but I think like she won't wear... For the most part, she'll lounge around shit. But if it's like, if she's thinking maybe it might be a sexy night, she'll wear sexier shit. Not even like lingerie. But it's like, there's definitely an intentionality to how much she's showing. Yeah. Do you want me to describe more of it? I mean, you seem to be into it. I can't tell what your moans are insinuating, but...
What does your wife's pussy look like? All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you, Steve Marshall and Rob Miller. Oh, it's a meaty badge?
No, not really.
That was inappropriate. Thank you, Steve Marshall and Ross Miller, for donating $25 a month, if you still are. I mean, I don't know. Nicholas Caprio, thanks for $100 a month. You're the man. And I also owe you, I got to get lunch with Nicholas soon. God, it's fucking life, huh?
God, it's been too long.
No, I'm just thinking like, just life is, it's busy, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Do you meditate? You should.
I just told Nicholas probably 2 weeks ago now. It's like, let's hang out soon next week. And then I think that's maybe 2 weeks from right now.
100%.
I'm like, God damn it. Where does the time go? I do meditate. Started meditating.
It helps you be present. It makes life longer, I think, in a good way.
Cool. All right. Well, that's this episode. Thank you for listening. Tell a friend to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and review, please. That'll greatly help us. I'm sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Pop.